it just comes down to the fact that voters are sick of the chaos. They want a president who can leave the drama of the past behind and focus on unifying the country and moving forward with the problems that we are facing now, instead of doing a replay of all the past issues. Not that we don't need to address some of those issues, of course, including the fact, I will be the first one to say that I think the Justice Department has been weaponized against Trump, but it has been weaponized against so many Americans for so long. We can go way back.
Welcome to Political Contessa. I'm Jennifer Nassor, and this show is here to support your interest in center-right politics, policy, and breaking news. Listen in and discover how to awaken your inner ideal candidate, and if you're ready, how you can jump in and change the world as a runner or a supporter. Welcome to Political Contessa. If you or a friend have ever considered running, or you know a woman who should, I've got something just for you. My quick guide called Secrets from the Campaign Trail. It will show you 5 signs to tell you you're ready to enter the political arena. To get these tips and learn about all new podcast episodes and ways to get involved, head over to politicalcontessa.com. Hello, and welcome to Political Contessa. I'm Jennifer Nassor, and I am your Political Contessa. Today, I have another special guest on with me. I decided to go out and do a little fishing experiment and find some fabulous women around the country who support my favorite candidate. If you don't know by now, that is Nikki Haley. So with me today, I have Jeanine Cooper, who's a resident of New Market, New Hampshire. She's a graduate of University of Michigan. Oh my God, I'm sure we could exchange some fun football stories from there. Retired English teacher, an author of 2 novels, a wife, and a mother of 2 sons. Jeanine's passion is for bettering people's lives, and it led to her running in 2022 as a Republican. Yep, Republicans run in New England, in Rockingham 10 for the New Hampshire House. Currently, she's volunteering her time to help elect our girl, Nikki Haley, and serving as New Hampshire co-chair on the campaign. But today we are just 2 women who have the same interest in making America the best place it could possibly be for our children, for our friends, for our extended family, for future grandkids, and everyone around us. So Jeanine, welcome on Political Contessa.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure to be with you today, Jen.
It's awesome. We have a text message chain that goes on. I swear to God, it's like a 24-hour diner. It's like you could find anything you want, smorgasbord of every topic all day long. And it doesn't matter if I can't sleep at night or I can't sleep in the morning. I wake up and I feel like I have this whole big, awesome social network of fabulous women up in New Hampshire who are all doing the same work I'm doing.
They're a great support group. Absolutely. It's wonderful to be able to share our thoughts there. And, you know, we see something pop up in the news, or sometimes it's just something personal going on in our lives too. It's a great network.
Well, you know, what's nice is, and I try to explain this to friends all the time, and especially women, because I feel like unless you're a young woman, you are not really active in campaigns. And I try to tell my friends as they're getting older and their kids are more off and don't need as much attention, go work on a campaign, because the camaraderie of the other women that you meet, the other, you know, men and women you meet on a campaign, it's almost like being in a dorm together. Like, you're all sharing that same experience. You're all going through it at the same time. And it's some of my closest friends I met on campaigns over the years. So it's a really cool kind of thing to be part of in this crazy world that we live in.
It certainly is. It's a great place to be able to share your ideas, kind of flush them out, and also get new ideas as well. I hadn't thought about it from that perspective before, too. So great exchange of ideas in a positive realm. We're all looking for that, for a place where we can share our thoughts these days without it becoming toxic and volatile. And so, yes, it's been great camaraderie.
Yes, toxic and volatile. So let's go off of that. That's a great segue into our discussion. And, you know, we were talking a bit before we started this about my feeling about things that, and I did a podcast on this last week about how it feels like the world is on fire, right? And just you turn on the news and it's the news of the day is just the most wretched, barbaric, horrific. I mean, you could come up with any terrible adjective to describe what you see in the news today. And I go back to all the time that it's almost like when you're a teenager and your parents go away and they leave the house and they say, okay, don't have any friends over. We're leaving. We'll see you on Sunday. And the door shuts and they get in the car and they pull out of the driveway and you call all your friends. And then all of a sudden it's Project X at your house. That's what it feels, right? That's kind of what it feels like. It feels like there's actually no adult in the house. There's no adult in the room. There's no adult on the stage. And so the rest of the world is looking and saying, well, there's no adult at home in the United States. So every bad actor, come on out. We have some space for you. And there's absolutely no leadership. There's no one who's going to say stop. There's no one that has any rules. There's no one who has any foreign policy experience, or maybe not foreign policy experience because Biden was the vice president, but understanding of today and what is needed today for foreign policy experience is someone who really understands that whether it's terrorists coming over the southern border or what is going on in Israel and Ukraine, there's no one who understands that. And I don't know about you, but my feeling since September 11th has always been, if our national security, if we're not paying attention to foreign policy, and this is nothing about George W. Bush, because this happened, this was plotting and planning before Bush was even absolutely president. These terrorist attacks terrorists don't wake up one morning and they're like, hey, you know what we're going to do today? We're going to paraglide over a wall, or we're going to run some planes into some buildings. That doesn't happen. But the feeling then that I had was, if the national security falters, then what goes along with that? It's like dominoes. Everything else fails along with it. So the economy fails. But not only the economy, families, the whole family structure. When on September 11th, the town I grew up in, we lost nearly 80 people. It might have even been more. Those families were destroyed, right? So it was a dad, a brother, a mother, a sister, an aunt, whatever, whoever it was. But now your family nucleus is also destroyed. So it is so important. And so that's my feeling. And one of the things that I love about Nikki Haley is that she, on foreign policy over these past couple of weeks, has shown that she has the priorities, she has the chops, she has the acumen, she has the, hey, let it rip. Like, I'm not going to sit back. I'm not going to play footsie with these guys. We have rules in place and here's what we're going to do. So what do you think?
Right. I totally agree. And what's really impressive about her was her foresight in that as well. She was talking about foreign policy on the trail months ago with everyone. There were times where you would just wonder, well, you know that the pocketbook often speaks to people, and it's often, obviously, we're very concerned about issues with inflation and gas prices and all of the things that are making it very difficult for Americans to get by right now. I don't mean to sound like I'm changing the subject here.
No. It's the truth.
Certainly hit on those points constantly, recognizes, and having been a governor, knows so much about how to turn those things around. And she would hit on those points, but she also was constantly on about foreign policy and about how important it was. And I felt so often prior to events happening, the tragedy that happened, the horrific events, I don't want to call it a tragedy. A tragedy is an accident. The horrific events that occurred in Israel, prior to that, she was still talking foreign policy. And I felt like it was falling on deaf ears with so many people because they weren't tuned into that being a concern. And yet it needs to be constantly our concern. We said September 11th that we would never forget. And in many ways, I feel like we certainly haven't forgotten that day, but we have lost our sense of concern over these foreign policy issues that do affect our lives so much. And I don't know about you, Jennifer, but I was always a security mom after, particularly after 9/11. I mean, we worry about the safety of our young people. Having been a teacher as well as a mother, I was always worried about our young people in this world that they were growing up into, and it just was so magnified at the time of 9/11. And so now you have this person who has come along, thank goodness, because you were right. You were talking about how there no longer seemed to be any adults in the room. And here comes the adult, Nikki Haley, who is addressing all of these issues that are so important to us, our kitchen table issues, yes, but also these foreign policy issues, the whole package, and not only talking about what those problems are, but just filled with wisdom in terms of solutions that are going to help us moving forward. And all of that experience, I feel, at the UN, she was daily working with these people who threaten us. And having that knowledge is so vital to making the decisions moving forward. I am thrilled that we have the opportunity to elect someone like her. And I just hope America wakes up to the reality of that we need this. We need someone like her. We need her. It's not like someone right. I mean, of all of the candidates who are running, you can go through the entire list, and to have the complete package of the experience and the knowledge and so on, she is the one.
It's amazing you said that. And I saw something that I forget, it was in a tweet, it was somewhere, but it said DeSantis is doing a major foreign policy speech, and while Nikki Haley's numbers go up. And I'm like, did he not have a foreign policy speech ready to go? Because we're a couple of weeks into this Israeli barbaric, horrific situation, right?
Right.
And now he comes out with, you're too late. Are you doing this because Nikki's been all over every single station and she's been quoted on what she would do, and her being in the tunnels and her view of dealing with Hamas, right? And all of a sudden he's coming out with this. Well, I feel like you're a day late and dollar short over here. And that's exactly, Nikki has been talking about this. It wasn't that she woke up the day after it happened and said, oh my God, I need to figure out a speech and I need to figure out some talking points so I could get on national TV. She actually lived it as a UN ambassador. And I think, you know, when I look at candidates running for office, and you've run for office, I've run for office. When I look at candidates, I look at my normal joke is most men, they get up in the morning, they like brush themselves off, brush their hair. They look in the mirror, they slap some cologne on. They're like, I'm going to run for US Senate today. Right. And most women need to be asked 7 times to run for anything. And so I'm like, it's amazing. You see how people just say, I'm going to run for president of the United States. Nikki, though, was a state legislator. She was a governor. She was a UN ambassador. She was an accountant, or she is an accountant. So when you think of who has experience to deal with the issues today that have come up, it is 1000% Nikki Haley. And I think the events, again, over the last couple of weeks, her positioning on Ukraine, this was one of the things that kind of set her aside from everyone else for me at the beginning, was her saying, we need to be involved in Ukraine because Ukraine is not just Ukraine, it's Russia taking over Ukraine and wanting to come through. And when you said, we'll never forget with the Trade Center, what's interesting, right. I think people forgot the 1930s and 40s and forgot Hitler and forgot how he was able to combine forces with Mussolini and how they were moving past Eastern Europe into Western Europe. And at the end of the day, there are many countries that are not in favor of Western civilization. They're not in favor. The squad wants to go off and open their mouths about supporting, it's such a horror what's going on and everything else and the ceasefire and de-escalation. But at the same time, if those same women went over there and met up with Hamas, guess what Hamas would do to them? They would not be very friendly to them. They would not be taking care of them. They would not want to de-escalate anything with them. I mean, we see in Afghanistan, women with education, women driving, those are all no-nos in so many areas. They don't like our life. So it's important to have someone who's in leadership, who is a leader. And we have, at least this president, and I won't talk about the last one yet, but at least this president has not done anything to make us better in the eyes of the world outside of the United States with his actions. And also, I blame Trump because I think Trump was too busy playing footsie and thinking he could be best friends with Russia and China instead of actually saying, hey, listen, there's a new sheriff in town and here are the rules of engagement now.
So many great points you touched on there. And first of all, the point about leadership was true leadership in terms of not just waiting for those moments that, as you mentioned, DeSantis now decided to come out with his foreign policy positions. Nikki was so far ahead of everyone on this, seeing clear-eyed the threat that was pending out there. And twisting of her words over, could we talk about for a moment the
situation with the
Gaza situation? DeSantis was making these points about how made some sort of blanket comment about Palestinians being anti-Semitic. And I think simply Nikki was trying to point out that we are more humanitarian than that, that we understand that just because these people live under this terrorist regime doesn't mean that every single one of them embrace that mentality. Although, unfortunately, I think many of them are brought up to feel that way. Nonetheless, there are Palestinians that don't necessarily even live in the Gaza Strip for starters. To just make a blanket statement like that, she was just clarifying that there is a difference between terrorists and civilian population that doesn't necessarily want to go out and slaughter people.
Absolutely.
As the terrorists did that day. And so she makes that point, and it's twisted on her to somehow imply that she's wanting to bring these terrorists to our country. I mean, to bring, what was it, the refugees?
Yeah.
She never spoke of that at all. So what's so troubling to me is beyond the fact that at best this was miscommunication. If I'm going to give any benefit of the doubt to the DeSantis campaign about this, okay, maybe you misinterpreted what she said, but then you go on and continue lying about it and continue running advertisements about it. That's a sign of true desperation.
1,000%.
And it makes you lose your faith in people. How do you trust someone after they're willing to know what the truth is and yet continue to run with the lie?
Exactly. It's 2023. Listen, everything is video on videotape. Everything is on audio, right? I mean, there's so many ways to Google. There was nothing. She said nothing that he said that she said, and it is totally desperate. And I want to, I just want to say before I forget this, the video that the campaign put out on Desperate DeSantis was actually the funniest thing that I have ever seen in his, it's hysterical. So if you have not seen it yet, you need to go find it on YouTube. It is the best video I think I've ever seen. I was dying laughing as I saw it. Anyway, continue, please.
And it is reaching that point where Nikki is quickly emerging as the clear alternative to Trump. It's just reaching that point where it's, she's come to the top. She is the person who is on the rise, where all these other candidates are faltering. And it is simply because people are beginning to tune in. They're listening to these messages. And when they hear Nikki speak, if you have not had a chance or an opportunity to go to one of Nikki's events, one of these Haley town halls, try to get to one. And if not, they are on YouTube. I would look one up and take the time to listen to from her in her own words, rather than listening to people putting words in her mouth. Listen to from her mouth. I guarantee you that you will be, if nothing else, very impressed by the fact that, again, that she not only talks about the problems we're facing, but some very realistic, practical solutions. And it's that message that's resonating with people and is causing her to rise in the polls. And as more and more people tune in, that's what's happening. And it's becoming a two-person race between Nikki and Trump.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's interesting. DeSantis had to put words in her mouth. The last debate, how all the guys were starting to gang up on her and starting to attack her, right? Trump's whole birdcage thing.
That, you know, fell flat.
That was ridiculous. I mean, that was so childish. It just, it showed even more why we need Nikki as president, right? Because she's not ever going to behave that childish and ridiculous. Mm-hmm. She's not putting her words in people's mouths. Her leadership experience, her as a governor, as a UN ambassador, her compassion as a mother, as a daughter, right? As a wife of someone who is in our military, serving in our military. I think all of those things go to her character of who she is and why she's an amazing leader. And you see her rise in the polls in New Hampshire. I'm kind of ignoring Trump in this whole thing because I hope that people start to see that in any sporting event, you've got your playoffs and then you've got your championships, right?
Right.
And you could win the playoff, but you could just be the team that got lucky the whole time and wins the playoff. The only thing that actually matters is the championship, right? So if we're looking at, I can't talk about the Patriots right now because they're not doing so great. But in years past, I could have mentioned Patriots, but you only care about the Super Bowl. Well, Trump cannot win the primary. And the reason he can't win the primary is because he cannot win the general election. And it doesn't matter who the Democrats put up. They can put up Biden. They could put up Newsom. They could put up Whitmer. It doesn't matter who they put up. Anyone they put up is going to beat Donald Trump. He has 91 indictments. There's no way a man that is a man, a woman, anything who's running for president that has that many indictments should actually and could actually win. And the country, for those of you who have not heard me say this a million times, because this is the thing I focus on all the time, the country, 51% of all voters consider themselves independent. They are registered independent in some way, shape, or form. 51%. That leaves 49% between the other two parties who are pulling further and further and further away from the middle. So 51% of the country is smack dab in the middle. And then you've got the rest of the country, the 24.5% on either side, that's just pulling further to the ends. Well, who do you think that 51% is voting for? They don't buy into the BS on either side. So they're not going to go and vote for Trump. If they didn't vote for him last time, they're not voting for him this time. It's just a fact. So, and even if they voted for him last time, now they know better and they see better. So I really want to focus on Nikki and the other players in the race. And I think that at some point, the others are going to get knocked out. sheerly by the rules of the RNC of what percentage they need to be at, because they're not meeting those percentages. They're not meeting their fundraising goals. We'd see in South Carolina, Tim Scott, he's a nice guy. Everyone I've talked to says he is such a nice man. He's so well liked in Congress. But here's the fact. The hometown paper endorsed Nikki, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of at a time where it needs to come down to a two-person race. And so if that one person is Trump, there's only one other person who could be in that race, which is Nikki, right? So it's like Nikki and all of them right now. But I think we'll see in the next debate, we'll see who comes out of that as the one who's more strategic, the one who's more of a leader, the one that has a vision, the one that has the policy arguments. It might be the we're the presidents of the fan club. So, I mean,
definitely. But it's so true. And we might actually have a debate next time if we have winnowed the field that much.
Definitely.
We can have these people actually engage with one another and hear a little bit more at length and a little bit more depth their positions. I mean, those are things that you can, again, I would tell your listeners that they could tune into any YouTube video that's a town hall of Nikki's and actually hear at length her go into great detail. But in the debates, it's just been hard to get through at that point. And I'm with you with the Tim Scott situation, because I do think he is, like Nikki, a very decent, good person of character, but he just unfortunately does not have the experience and just isn't connecting with the people the way that Nikki has. So it will be certainly, and I'm sorry to say, kind of a blessing if he and others should step out of the race and clear the field a little bit. And I would step back to what you were saying about concerns about the fact that people have continued, people who were 2016 voters for Trump, we lost some of those voters in 2020, a lot of it due to his rhetoric. And then I believe, I'm sure you've seen the ads as well, showing people who are coming forward and saying, I voted for him twice, and now I'm not going to vote for him again.
Yes.
And it just comes down to the fact that voters are sick of the chaos. They want a president who can leave the drama of the past behind and focus on unifying the country and moving forward with the problems that we are facing now, instead of doing a replay of all the past issues. Not that we don't need to address some of those issues, of course, including the fact, I will be the first one to say that I think the Justice Department has been weaponized against Trump, but it has been weaponized against so many Americans for so long. We can go way back to the Obama administration when it was weaponized against people, when we had the IRS going after these groups that were trying to start these conservative groups.
Yes, me. I come into that category. Yep. Yep.
Yes. And it all started there. Trump's not the only victim here.
No.
He's the one we hear about constantly on the nightly news because the media likes to play that because it sells ads, gets us to listen, and also distracts the Republicans from the candidates that they need to be looking at, particularly Nikki. And we have to step above that and not be manipulated in that way. Because, again, if you listen to Nikki and her positions on the deep state, if you will, if you want to call it that, but particularly it's that managerial state. It's like our government used to be three branches. Now it's four.
Oh, yeah.
We have these unelected people who for decades have been directing policy and coming after people in a way that is escalating. And if you ever heard Nikki talk on the campaign trail about her plan, I heard someone ask her, what is the first thing you're going to do on day one And she's, the first thing I'm doing is I'm firing every single person in charge of all of these departments, because even if they were doing a good job, we just need to clean house.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to put in people who know how to do that, who are going to go through and get rid of the problem policies, the problem children, and so on. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be the victim of this system in order to understand what is going on and have a very strong plan for cleaning it up. And she's done it. She did it in South Carolina as well. Have you heard her talk about that?
Oh, yeah, I had her. She was in Boston in the spring. And I'll tell you, the entire room was captivated. And even people that were like, oh, we'll just come because you told us to come. Everyone loved her. I agree with you. If you haven't seen Nikki Haley in person, you have to see her in person, because I don't think that the TV time that she gets, the debates are not enough time for her. But when you actually hear her speak, you get chills, because she is so reasonable and rational. She comes at it with a voice of understanding and knowledge. And I think it's really rare for politicians these days not to be coming at things with their ego, but coming at things from actual understanding what's inside of you, the experiences that you've had, and translating that into a mission, right? So even the cleaning up, it's not a, these are bad people and I want to get rid of them. It's a, you know what? Sometimes we just need to clean house. We all need a little spring cleaning. And if you're really that good, you could apply back for your job. I mean, I was just a quick story. I want to talk about Nikki as some things that we always get asked about. But I started my organization in 2011, and I was part of that Obama mission of conservatives, and I had to basically turn over my liver in order to get approval on this thing. And it was such a process that I went through. It is not just Trump. This happens to normal people, but it's not happening to normal people because of Trump. It has been going on for a long time. Right. But you reminded me of a very sore spot in my, it took 21 months to get through that process. It was terrible. Yeah.
And thank goodness you fought the good fight, because a lot of people gave up.
Oh yeah. And I wasn't giving up.
And that was the mission. That was the whole goal
of
the Obama administration at the time.
Yes.
Was to shut down these conservative movements.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah. It was terrible. Okay. I diverted the conversation. So here's one thing.
When you talked about the rare combination, it's a rare combination to me of a person who is so compassionate and yet so strong, so bold and strong and powerful and confident and has that moral clarity, but at the same time, just understands the difficulties of just the average common American. And I say that as I think she's lived a life of the average common American long before she got involved in politics, that has left her with that life experience that I think brings important things to the table.
Absolutely. So I'm glad that you said that, because that was going to bring me into my next point, which is, when we saw Hillary Clinton run, one of the things that I kept saying was, here's my problem with Clinton. It's not that, oh, she would be the first woman president and she's a Democrat. That wasn't it. My problem is this, and in politics, I have seen this for my entire career in politics. Women generally aren't supportive of other women. And it goes across all lines, whether you're in business, whether you're in law, whether you're probably the health profession might be the only profession that you don't see it, maybe in teaching as well. But women are generally not supportive of other women. Hillary Clinton wanted to bust through the glass ceiling and then close it behind her. And it was solely on, let's elect the first female president. Mm-hmm. The motto, right? That was the talking point around her. With Nikki, though, what I like, and the reason I say she comes at things from understanding and compassion, because of what you said, she's lived it. She lived a normal life where she had friends and she engaged with her family. And it wasn't a calculated life of one day I'm going to run for president. Exactly. It was a life that was professional and service oriented. And she just kind of arose here by seeing what has gone on in society, right? And in our country, and wants to do the best for our country. And I know a question I get asked a lot, I'm sure you do, is, are you supporting her just because she's a woman, or she's a woman running for president? Is that why she's getting so much attention? And I actually take offense to it in a way, because I support women, but I support the best candidate. So I am not supporting Nikki Haley because she's a woman. I'm not supporting her because she's a mother. I'm not supporting her because of the color of her skin. I'm supporting her because I really love her policies. And I think her policies make sense for the country where we are today. And she is the right person at the right time. Mm-hmm. And I think that her being a woman is the reason why she can convey her message in a way that is understandable. It's compassionate. It's coming from a teaching a lesson perspective, and not a, I'm right, I'm always right, you need to listen to me, and it's my way because I'm the smartest, I'm the most successful, I went to the best schools, right? And so I think for me, the woman thing is like an add-on to it. It's not the reason for it.
She's not the affirmative action candidate. She's not being chosen simply because she's a woman, because she's a woman of color, not because she is, checks some boxes that have, we've come to that point where Democrats particularly have just fallen into this, we're only going to choose a candidate for this position who checks these boxes. And she is the last thing in that regard. She is running because she is the most
competent. She's the most competent and qualified person out there. I mean, that's why she's a real leader. I mean, and that you can't change that with gender, right? That is not a gender-based. I love that you said affirmative action. That's so awesome. It's not a gender-based, race-based. Those aren't qualifications, right? The qualifications
based
are
based on a quota,
Based on a quota. It's being smart. It's being competent. It's being qualified. It's being experienced. And experience takes on a whole different range of information that drives your experience, right?
Well, and it goes back to so much for me of what I loved teaching as an English teacher. I loved looking at with my students Martin Luther King's speech of I Have a Dream, and talking about judging people by the content of their character. Here is the perfect example. Is that is why in so many ways she would be the perfect person to be the first woman of, and if you want to throw into of color or of, I just feel like people are, again, looking check boxes, and yet she would be the perfect person to do this because she would be chosen not for those reasons and yet represent them, show how of your own skill and ability and character and decency and so on that you can be. And it's interesting, too, what you were saying about how there are so many women being asked, are you supporting her simply because she's the woman candidate? And it is quite offensive to us, particularly as women. We're like,
wait, that's stupid.
Yes, exactly.
Like, just supporting a candidate because she's a female? Like, what? That's so, it's like telling us that we need to vote for a candidate based on the right to choose, or that's all you think we have going on in our heads. It's offensive.
Oh, exactly. And yet, I will be the first to say that I do think sometimes she speaks to women because she understands from the perspective of a woman. But it's again, it's not being played that way any more so than her struggling to speak to men. She doesn't struggle to speak to men because And there are so many men coming out in support of her as
well. Oh, yeah.
I love to see the light come on when I'm at an event and they hear her speak and they just say, this is it. And so it's just, it's so hard to remove that, isn't it? That piece. Because people will always accuse or consider that that's somehow coming into play, a person's sex or gender or whatever. What comes into play is people's life experience. And yes, women have different life experiences than men. People of various ethnic backgrounds have various experiences as well. But that's not to say that we can't still identify with and understand people of the opposite sex or of a different ethnic background or whatever, we can't at least listen and try to comprehend things from that perspective. And I'll tell you what she is a listener. She definitely listens to people and takes to heart their perspective of how things must be affecting you in your daily life from your perspective. Wouldn't it be nice to have someone who's not just looking out for just one particular population or group or and she is looking to represent all Americans, all of us. Even if we're Republican or Democrat, too, wouldn't that be nice for a change?
Right.
Because even though we run for a particular party, and again, first to admit that maybe policy-wise, obviously, she would not agree with them on everything, but she still would see herself as the representative of and the person concerned for the welfare of every American.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that is exactly why she should be president, right? Because this isn't about party. This isn't about serving some quota. This isn't about Twitter clicks. This is about genuinely representing all people who live in the United States and making sure that we are safe, number one, and that there is on the national stage, the United States gets back to its position of being a leader in everything and where we haven't for such a long time. So I appreciate that as the last thing that we have here today. It's so awesome. You and I could go on for hours and hours and hours and hours, and we should do this again because I really hope that you out there listen to these conversations because they're important. And I hope that you're having them with your girlfriends. And I hope that you're having them with your neighbors as you're walking your dogs or whoever you go and get coffee with from work or whoever you commute with to work or driving your kids to school, other parents in the pickup line and drop off line. It's very important to have these discussions. And Janine, I appreciate you being here with me today to talk about Nikki Haley.
Jennifer, so appreciate the opportunity. It was a pleasure, and I do hope we can do it again.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. That was Janine Cooper from New Hampshire. She is a co-chair of Nikki for Women for Nikki up in New Hampshire. But we are both here today. As I said to her early on, it's like we were talking about, I don't know, we were talking about Barbies. We're talking about the latest lunch that our kids were getting served or soccer game or whatever else. It's the same thing. We are just two women who have a mutual love and respect and admiration for someone who is running for president of the United States, which is a very, very serious job and should not be taken lightly. And so I appreciate the conversation. And I hope that you enjoyed the conversation here today on Political Contessa. I'm Jennifer Nassor. I'm your Political Contessa. Please stay happy, healthy, and safe.
Thanks so much for listening to Political Contessa. For all the ways to listen and to get the inside scoop on what's happening in center-right politics for women like us, head over to politicalcontessa.com.